have your Bibles and would like to turn with me tonight, I'd like to read to you from the book of Luke. And we'd like to begin at verse, in chapter 19, right at verse 1. Very, very thankful for the humble prayer that's been offered, and thankful for the Lord blessing Brother Terry with the words that he gave him to express our feelings to the Lord. Prayer is a wonderful thing. We're told to men ought always to pray and not to faint, and that verse in and of itself tells us that we'll either be praying or fainting, that we're going to be looking to the Lord, or we'll be in trouble. And how good it is tonight just to pray together and ask the Lord to bless us in our service. We can be content with what He gives us as we look to Him. And I do ask Him, and have been asking Him, that He would guide me tonight, and that He would supply what's needed, that you might be fed from God's Word. This passage, I'm sure, is very familiar to you. It's the story of Zacchaeus and the occurrence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of Zacchaeus, and what the Lord did for Zacchaeus, and the changes that took place in the life of Zacchaeus as a result of God's work. And we think of the many of the Lord's people that the Lord encountered in this world, and relatively few of them, no doubt, are recorded in the Bible of the communication of the Lord with them, and their response to the Lord, and how the Lord dealt with them. We do know from the Scriptures that if all the things that could have been written would have been written, the world would not have contained the books that could have been written describing the work of our Lord in this world, even when He walked here on the shores of time. And every account that we have in the Bible is important for us, or it would not have been left on record for us. And so as we're reading these accounts, we are reading about actual historical events that took place in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the life of this publican that had the name Zacchaeus. And this was a real man who walked on the shores of time, and he encountered the Son of Man, the Son of God. As a matter of fact, the Lord came to where he was and did for him what he could not do for himself. And that's been left on record for us, that we might learn about it and from it draw some things that maybe would feed us and cause us to relate to the Lord's working in our own life. And I pray that He'll bless us with that tonight. It's good to read if I don't do anything other than read it in your hearing tonight. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." This is Luke chapter 19, and I'm in verse 2, going to verse 3. "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. We wonder how many people were in Jericho at the time. How many that were there that were no doubt very much like Zacchaeus. And when you think about Zacchaeus, who was Zacchaeus? And who was he as a man that the Lord would be mindful of him? Zacchaeus, we have a report about what he was and who he was by nature, of course. says, "Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." Now, that tells us a lot about him. Doesn't tell us everything about him, but it does tell us that his profession was not one that was recognized to be very honorable. He was a tax collector, and probably not so honorable today as the profession of a tax collector. And yet he was the kind of tax collector that not only was he was going to gather that which was due, but he made his living by gathering more than what was due and taking more than what was required. And rather than just taking what he was, and he being a Jew would take it from his own people, was collecting those taxes from the Jewish people, and that custom was paid to him. And not only that, but anything he could get above and beyond that became his, and he kept that. And we know that without speculating, because Zacchaeus, after the Lord had finished with him, said this. He said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation." So that kind of tells me he had obviously taken some things from somebody by false accusation. So what would you say he is? You know, we call a lot of things a lot of things. Now in this day and time, it's very PC. You know, you got to be politically correct. A man tells a falsehood and you say, well, he just simply did not tell the truth. You can't say he lied. You have to say he did not tell the truth. Well, if a man takes something by false accusation from somebody, he's a crook, right? I mean, that's what he is. He's a thief. He's a crook. And Zacchaeus then, being a publican, was basically a thief. He made his life stealing. He was a crook. Not only was he a crook, but he was a chief crook. He was the chief of the crooks. He was a publican. And by the way, if you read the word publican, now we see there are some among those publicans. There were some among the publicans that were, we know that Jesus was called a friend of the publicans and the sinners, because the Lord had some people among the publicans, but the publicans were basically, that word was almost synonymous, meant the same thing as sinners, because you saw the word often with publicans and sinners. And of course, to the Pharisees, remember that Pharisee that went to the temple to pray, and he saw that publican and he said, "Oh, I'm glad, Lord, I'm not like other men are, and I'm especially glad I'm not like that publican. I'm not like him." And yet the publican smote upon his breast. We see one whom God had worked in and smote upon his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." See, God doesn't look at who does good and who does bad and who lives right and who lives wrong and who has got this job and who's got that job and who's done this and who's done that, or where you've been in the past or what you've done in the past, whether you think it's good, like the Pharisees thought, and thought they'd attained their righteousness by their good works, or whether you were like a publican or even the chief of publicans. The Lord He was mindful of this man, Zacchaeus, not because of what Zacchaeus has done, but in spite of all Zacchaeus did. As a matter of fact, I believe the Lord knew Zacchaeus even before the very foundation of the world. You do too, don't you? I hope you do. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that he chose his people in Christ before the foundation of the world, that they are foreknown. He foreknew them. Those whom he foreknew, that means he loved them. John 17, in the prayer, really where the Lord's Prayer is found, that prayer, he spoke of that. People that the Father had given to him, he said, "I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world." And I believe among those that had been given to him was this little brother, Zacchaeus. And he prayed for them. And he said that the Father had given him power to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, given me. And that's exactly what he came to do. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Now, if I go out to try to seek and save that which is lost, even if I'm trying to look for things in this world that are lost, I lose my car keys, I might go find them, and then I might not. And I might be successful in that activity. I may fail. I may succeed. I may be able to find them, but then there's, you know, some things you lose. There are some things I've lost I've never found. Don't know where it's at today. I don't know where it's at. If I could, I'd find it. And I've looked for it. There are some things I've looked for. There are some things I give up on and all of a sudden come along and find it. Where, okay, and now I'd give up looking. But can I say this, and I know you believe this, the Lord never looked for anything He didn't find. He never was wondering about where it was. He never had to think about where might it be. He is an omnipotent, that means He has all power. He's omniscient, that means He knows everything. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. He knew His children in covenant before the foundation of the world. When He looked down upon the sons of men, He saw Zacchaeus. And He didn't see Zacchaeus as a good little boy who was just doing everything right, but He saw him the chief among the publicans. But He came that way, went right into a city, entered into and passed through Jericho. Now some people say, well, that wasn't right for Him to go take care of Zacchaeus. Look how many people He passed up in Jericho. You know what God does? Exactly what He wants to do. You know when He does it? Exactly at the right time. And you know what everything He does is? Exactly right. Perfect. You can't add to it or take from it. It's God who does it, and He does it that men might fear before Him. And Zacchaeus had absolutely nothing to do with his eternal home or his eternal salvation. He was working very hard to be receiving the wages of sin, which were death. And if he'd have been left to that state and in that condition, he could never have said, God, you did wrong by passing me by. If he'd have passed him by. Listen, God, though, the Son would not going to pass by one who was given to Him by God the Father in covenant before the foundation of the world. And He came expressly to where He was. And when He got there, He didn't have to ask who He was. He called Him by name. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And before we get to thinking that's a licentious doctrine, remember it goes on to say, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So it's not about live any way you want to. If God's chosen you, everything's okay. Because even though if God has chosen you, everything's okay, that means let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That means we ought to want to live better, desire to live better. And if God has worked in you, that is in you. And if you do not work that out, it'll be to your own suffering and your own detriment. And here he says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, I can imagine what he would have been like to some degree. I don't want to go speculating too much, but, you know, Zacchaeus, I'm sure he had friends, don't you? I'm sure there was the friends of the world that Zacchaeus had. That when the Zacchaeus that left them that day came back the next day, there were some things that had happened to that man that they went like, something is wrong with Zacchaeus. You know what that crazy Zacchaeus is going to do? He's going to give half of everything he's got away. Do you know that Zacchaeus is gotten weak in his thinking. He's gotten weak to think that he's actually done somebody harm by taking something in false accusation. He has got all this. He's got them right where he wants them. And now instead of doing that, he's going to restore not just what the Bible would require, just a part. He's going to do it fourfold. He's going to go over and above and beyond. I believe that Zacchaeus was a different man. I believe he acted different. I believe he talked different. I believe he behaved different. I don't know whether he had a wife, but I bet she saw a difference in her husband. I don't know whether he had children, but if he did, I guarantee you they saw a difference in that man. There was a change that took place, not because Zacchaeus chose to change. I don't even know what caused him to climb the tree. I sometimes believe and do feel in my own thoughts and my thinking, I may be wrong on this, I believe the Spirit of Almighty God was already working in his heart, leading him to have a hunger to see who Jesus was. But it could have been just plain old natural curiosity that caused him to climb a tree, because he heard a lot about this Jesus, and maybe he just wanted to see who he was. I want you to know, whichever way it went, God was working in it both ways. Now you think about your own natural life. Before you cared about a thing about the Lord, or where you have an idea about the Lord, you think about the hand of God on your life. You think about how from the time you were conceived in your mother's womb, from the time you were born, the time you grew up, all the places you've been, all the things you've done, it's a miracle you and I are even here tonight. Is that true? It is. It is true. Your birth is a miracle. No man can cause it to happen. If you're here, it's by God's grace. I've seen birth. Listen, I saw my little girl delivered. I was there when she... that was the most amazing thing that I can ever remember seeing. The fact that this birth happened in the way that it happened. And I knew right there, that's God's hands. That's God's work. The Bible says from the moment of your conception, his eyes were upon you, his hand was there, and the whole Psalm 139, I believe it is, talks about his hand being on the entirety of your life, and how that God, and he does it his way. Listen, and every one of his children will be with him in heaven in immortal glory. Some of them live a long time, some of them don't live very long, but I'm telling you what, if they belong to him, and I believe, and that is his children, they will be with him in glory, and he will not lose one. He came, I didn't want to get, don't let me just hang up on my car keys and have them lost somewhere. Listen, when Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, he knew exactly where it was, and he was very successful. He wasn't unsuccessful. Some people said he tries to save. He doesn't try to save. His name isn't maybe Jesus. His name is Jesus. For he shall save who? His people from what? Their sins. That's particular redemption, isn't it? That's what I believe it is. That means in particular he loved them. In particular he died for them. In particular he washed them. And numbered among them by the word of God is a man by the name of Zacchaeus, who didn't deserve anything from the God of heaven. And if I know myself tonight and you know you, I can just take his name out and put my name in. If he'd have left me right where I was. Just like the Pharisee thought, I'm not like that publican. I might say, I'm not like Zacchaeus. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I'm not like the little woman taken in the act of adultery. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I'm not like a Matthew sitting at the seat of customs. I'm not as bad as this one. I'm certainly better than this one or another one. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit gets through with you and your life is opened up and the Word of God shines light into your life and you see that I've sinned and come short of the glory of God, you look at the Ten Commandments and you say, I've broken this one and this one and this one. And if you think for a moment, there's one you missed, you can remember this, that if you've broken one of them, you're guilty of them all. And then you go like, I'm in trouble. And maybe I feel that puts, that might have been why Zacchaeus was climbing the tree. That'll make you climb a tree. It'll make you go and look for him. Now listen, if that really was what he did, now if it wasn't just natural curiosity, the Holy Spirit had worked in his heart. I do know this, at some point he was born, and if he was born, he was born from above, and if he was born from above, it was by the Holy Spirit. He had been given life. He was effectually called by the Spirit of Almighty God and was able, when Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, you know what he did? He made haste and he came down and he joyfully received him. You know how he did that? Because he'd been born of the Spirit of Almighty God, to know that this wasn't just any old man. This was the Son of Man and the Son of God. Received him into his house. Boy, what a visitor in your house. You know, sometimes we entertain preachers in our home and we think, boy, we got some preachers in our home, excited about that, excited about them coming. What if Jesus came in the bodily form and said, I'm coming to your house? Boy, we'd be cleaning up, wouldn't we? Is there some things we might move out of the way? there are some things we might, you know, we get this straight, get that straight, you know. You know, we better, you know, some people say there's dust on the Bible, you clean that off real good, you know. But you know, Jesus is in your house every single hour and moment. Right now, while you're here, He's at home in your house. He's also here with us. He's everywhere present. He's nowhere absent. That's the wonderful God we have. And the good news about that is He loved you. And He loves you. Not because you were lovable. He loved Zacchaeus too. He didn't love Zacchaeus because he was lovable. He knew what Zacchaeus was. Listen, Zacchaeus, the Bible tells us that he was a publican and he was rich. Not only was he a thief, he was a chief thief and he was a successful thief. And he had riches. He had riches to be able to help people, never helped them. And we know that because he said, behold, listen, when his heart was broken, he said, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. How much did he give before? I doubt very little. Yeah. I mean, if he had to give anything, he probably had a plaque written somewhere with Zacchaeus' name on it so everybody would know what Zacchaeus did. He'd have a building named after him, Zacchaeus' charity or whatever. Some reason other than serving the Lord. But when he got finished here, when the Lord got finished with him, and see, all of these good works didn't make him a child of God. The good works came because God broke his heart, and then he didn't do it in order to be doing something for the Lord. He did it because he realized the Lord has done so very much for me. If we're here tonight because we think the Lord needs us, we're in trouble, aren't we? We don't have an understanding that we ought to be here tonight because of all the good He's done for us. This ought to be our joy and our rest and our peace to gather tonight. Somebody said, well, you're going to give up a whole lot to forsake the time and the things you could be doing to gather and meet. Listen, I'm telling you, this is our reasonable service to be able to come here tonight and thank a God who loved us so much that He sent His Son into this world. And I don't know where your Zacchaeus experience happened, but somewhere in your life, you had a tree. It wasn't just this tree. I don't know when it occurred. But I know He said to you, come down. Yeah, He did. Come down. And he sought to see Jesus, who He was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. Now, if it was just curiosity, he probably would have said, well, I was going to see him, but too much trouble. Too much trouble. I'm going to have to go. And here's how much he did. This man who was rich, he said, I can't see him because I'm too short. He was a little fella. He couldn't see over the crowd. Jesus wasn't little of stature. Zacchaeus was little of stature. And he ran before and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, isn't that wonderful that the Lord put that sycamore tree just right? That was Zacchaeus' sycamore tree. You said, you believe that that wasn't just happenstance? Listen, when Jonah was swallowed up by a whale, that was Jonah's whale, wasn't it? And the Lord had prepared that for Jonah. Listen, the Lord makes preparation for His children. God in this world, time and time again, you go through circumstances and trials and you think, am I outside of God's care? Listen, God providentially is working in our lives day in and day out. Sometimes we don't look at it and see it because we're not thinking spiritually. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. What is Peter telling us there when he says, gird up the loins of your mind and be ye sober? It says, don't be drunk with the ideas and thinking of this world. You remember that every day that you live, the Lord's providential care is watching out for you. He's opening up doors. He's shutting them. He's making red lights red and green lights green at times where we are complaining. He may bring a traffic to a halt while you're trying to get somewhere and you think, I'm in a hurry and I'm trying. You even may say, I'm trying to get to the right place. Listen, there was a time he said, get in the ship and go to the other side. And he sent them right into a storm. And in the midst of that storm that he brought in their life, they learned a lesson that if he's in the ship with you, if he's in the ship with you, you're safe. But if he's not in the ship with you, he can come walking on the water. And in a moment, he can say, peace, be still. And he can give you the strength if you need to walk on the water. So some of the circumstances in our life that he suffers to be, some he might bring about, he's still ultimately in control. And thanks be to God that he is. Enough to even overrule evil, where there were those who meant it for evil. Joseph's brothers meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Makes you look at everything differently, doesn't it? It should. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, we'd have thought, you know, he would have walked right by and never saw that little fellow up in that tree. He knew exactly who was going to be up the tree. He knew where the tree was. He knew exactly where he was. Before the very foundation of the world, he knew about this. He didn't come without knowledge. It was by his knowledge. Isaiah wrote it this way: by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. In Isaiah 53. He didn't do it out of ignorance. It's by his knowledge. He knew exactly who he was dying for. He knew who he was coming for. He came to seek and save those that were given to him. And he will not lose one of them. And he came right here where he was. And he looked up and he saw him. And I can imagine the eyes of the Lord on Zacchaeus. Whew. The piercing eyes. The look of the Lord on Peter after he had denied the Lord. How it must have been when the Lord looked at him, and Peter then went out after he denied the Lord and went out and wept bitterly. And the cock crew, and it may not have been the cock that he heard that caused him to do, but it was certainly the eyes of the Lord. Jesus, look upon him. And those eyes, those piercing eyes, have you ever felt those eyes upon you? Oh, brother, I believe you have. He sees me. He knows me. And he looked upon him and he saw him and he said unto him, Zacchaeus. And I love that, because he didn't go, little fellow, what's your name? What you doing up in that tree? He didn't say, you know, just who are you? Let me tell you about something. Let me offer myself to you. Maybe you'll accept me. Let me tell you about my plan. He didn't do any of that. You know what he did? He looked him right and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste. In other words, this is important. I'll tell you, in the service of God, whatever he calls you to do is important. Let us not be those who do it half-heartedly or slothfully or lazily, but rather with all that's in us, let us do whatever he would have us to do in a way to honor and glorify him. He said, make haste and come down. And that's true for every one of us. One, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we got to come out of our tree and we got to come down and be below him, beneath him, at the feet of Jesus. We sang that hymn tonight. Down at the feet of Jesus. He said, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. That's right now, today. Isn't it good tonight to be able to, I feel his presence here tonight. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I can feel his manifest presence. I know that he's present. From the word of God, it says that he's present, but I'm thankful that we can see him and feel him and we can hear from him. And when you have that and you can feel that, it's a heavenly place. He said, today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, and get this, and he received him joyfully. I don't know how his wife felt about it. We don't get that message. We do know this, that the Lord said, I don't come to bring peace but a sword. There are some that in the course of things, when you have been touched by the hand of God, there are some of your friends that used to be your friends that won't be your friends anymore. There are some of your family that used to like you and had liked to hang out with you. They won't like you so much anymore. There'll be some that you're drawn closer to because of the tie that binds your heart and the likeness of the Spirit of God and your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's wonderful when a husband and wife can be brother and sister as well as husband and wife. It'll hold your marriage together. But I'll tell you, there also is it's a difficult thing at times when there's a sword that's brought there because of the difference that can happen. Listen, he said that. I come not to bring peace, but a sword. And there's a division that could take place. I'll guarantee you, Zacchaeus lost some friends. But he had a friend that was better than any other friend in this world. That friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And those friends that he had were there because he had riches. You let his riches go and you see what happens to his friends. They'll leave him right on the side too. And he made haste and came down. A lot of things we could say about this. He said, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. They looked at that and said, well, look, he's the friend of publicans and sinners. And I'm telling you, that's who Jesus, that's who the great physician came for, the sick and the halt and the maimed and the blind. And aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful? Listen, I need a friend that is not my friend based on what I've done for him, but in spite of all I've done, he loved us. He loved every one of his children enough to come and die for them and pay a sin debt for them. And then in time, he works a work in our hearts that we could not work, gives us a love to love him with, and life that's everlasting and eternal, and friends that are true friends that come from the Lord. Zacchaeus then, with the work of grace in his heart, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, called him Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. And I want you to know there's a daily salvation that we have as well as an eternal salvation. Our salvation eternally in time and any phase of it all came through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are phases and aspects of this salvation that you experience right here in this time world. Whenever you feel the presence of the Lord of heaven and you have the touch of His gentle hand and you can lean on His everlasting arms and you can find rest and peace and joy with Him and in Him in this old world, salvation is come to your house. This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Now that isn't talking about the fleshly line, the natural tie. It's talking about he was circumcised in heart. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The Galatian letter tells us that. And he said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we've talked about Zacchaeus tonight, but in talking about Zacchaeus, we're talking about each and every one of his children. We're talking about you, I believe. We're talking about where he's come for you, where he's done for you, what he did in spite of you, and not based on what you've done. Totally and by and through his grace, those whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called effectually. Those whom he called, them he also justified. That means he paid the sin debt for them. All of the elect family of God, Zacchaeus and all of the other of God's family. Those whom he justified, them he also glorified. You know what that means? Everyone he saw in covenant before the foundation of the world ultimately will be with him without the loss of one. An innumerable company that no man can number. While we're here in this world, we have him to look to and lean upon. And what a difference. We sing that hymn, he touched me. Nothing's the same. Have you seen it? Have you witnessed that? Thanks be to God. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.
Love you, my brother. God bless you.